This is the first Saturday in June, the month of the Sacred Heart. In about 2 weeks, we'll celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and then the day after, we'll celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so we have an opportunity on this first Saturday, which is in a particular way dedicated to the fulfillment of Our Lady's requests at Fatima, to meditate upon the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the revelations of our Lord to St. Margaret Mary and of our Blessed Lady to Sister Lucia, we see both our Lord and the Blessed Mother wearing their hearts on the outside. What's inside is made external so that we can see something that we would not ordinarily see, or have symbolized for us something that is extraordinarily important. We know that the heart, in a certain way, represents the whole person because it is the center of a person's life force, you might say. And from a symbolic point of view, the center of the spiritual, psychological, emotional center of the person. And when Jesus and Mary externalize their hearts, sort of wear their hearts on their sleeve, we see this extension of God's life into the world, God longing to bring us to Himself. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary, it was because of the indifference of men, their sort of absent-mindedness about spiritual things, about the things that were truly important, and especially about the forgetfulness of Him. I've mentioned this many times before, but it sort of encapsulizes the message of the Sacred Heart. When St. Margaret Mary's confessor asked the saint why it was that our Lord had a crown of thorns around his heart, St. Margaret Mary said she didn't know, but she would ask Jesus. And so she did the next time he appeared to her, and he told her to tell her confessor that my enemies put a crown of thorns around my head and my friends have put one around my heart, which was to say that those who professed to follow him, Christians, Catholics, those who went to the sacraments, did so without devotion, and sometimes even sacrilegiously, because they really didn't repent of their sins. And they had become so unaware of their forgetfulness, their indifference, that they needed to be shaken up. And this was then the reason for our Lord's apparition to St. Margaret Mary. Much is the same with our Blessed Mother at Fatima, and her concern was the rights of her son and the rights of God. And this was her grief. You know, Our Lady grieves not for herself, but she grieves on behalf of her son. This is what Our Lady always does. She's got her attention directed towards her son. You know, at the mysteries that we celebrate at Christmas time, we hear several times in St. Luke's Gospel, including the time recorded in the Gospel we read from today at the finding of our Lord in the temple, that Our Lady pondered in her heart the things that happened. She held in her heart the things that were most important. She remembered, and the point of St. Luke here, of course, is that he heard this from her, you know, many years after the infancy of Jesus. Our Lady, or rather St. Luke, recorded these events because Our Lady told them to him, and apparently the way she told it to him indicated how precious these memories were and how accurately she had kept them to be recorded later. She held these things in her heart, and then at the foot of the cross, of course, our Blessed Mother stood there and watched her son's heart opened for us, and she held that in her heart as well. She had her attention directed towards our Lord and towards his consolation. And the great tradition of our devotional life within the church, for example, the Stations of the Cross, record the same kind of idea, that after our Lord's ascension into heaven, Our Lady for a time lived in Jerusalem, and she used to go to the places where our Lord had suffered, and she would recall the events of his passion. And so really the Stations of the Cross are a fulfillment of these words of St. Luke, that she held these things in her heart, she remembered them, and she handed them on to the infant church. That's what she was doing in the cenacle during the novena leading to Pentecost, protecting, guarding, and handing on the memories that our Lord had entrusted to her care. And in this holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is, you know, Jesus made present for us, it's what's symbolized in the Sacred Heart, you know, through artwork, really, made real, made substantial, and not only does Jesus, you know, sort of wear his heart on his sleeve, but he feeds us with himself in the Eucharist. It's all contained within the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is, again, the memory of Christ, the memory of his life, the memory of his suffering, death, and resurrection, the memories that Our Lady held fast in her heart and which the Church has handed on to us. And so at Fatima, Our Lady held out her heart. You know, you see the statue of Fatima usually. She was here just a little bit ago. I think they've moved her again. But the so-called pilgrim image is the image of Our Lady at Fatima as she appeared to the three children, which the heart is not exposed. But later on, when Our Lady appeared to Sister Lucia at Tui, Spain, then she revealed her heart to her. And the statue will show Our Lady holding actually her heart. And Our Lord was present in that vision as well, as a child, and he said, "Behold the heart that is so pierced by the ingratitude of mankind." And so as we think about these things, as we enter into the mysteries of the Sacred Heart during this month of June, as we approach the feasts of the Sacred and Immaculate Heart of Mary, as we, on this first Saturday, remember the mystery of Fatima, we know that it's a matter of being attentive, to be mindful of the things that are important to God. We have so many things that are important to ourselves. Part of our Christian life is to see that what is important to God and what is important to us, you know, align, that they line up, and that we are going in the direction that the Lord is leading us. And so often we are disinclined to do that. It's easy to be forgetful. It's easy to be selfish. It's easy to act in our own interests. And also, of course, to forget those around us, because ultimately when our Lord comes to us, when he came to Margaret Mary, it wasn't just about her. You know, it wasn't just a message to her, it was a message to the whole world. And our Lord wanted St. Margaret Mary to be an instrument of his merciful heart to those in need. And likewise at Fatima, Our Lady chose the three children to bring a message to the world. And it's a message of God's mercy and of his love for mankind. And it is a it was brought to the world and to the church in such a way as to emphasize the urgency of the message, that it's a message for our times, it's a message that we need. And so these are the answers that God has given us in these times. You know, the great revelations of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart are prophetic graces of the times in which we live. And the figures surrounding these messages, like Saint Margaret Mary and the children of Fatima and Saint Catherine Labre and Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Blessed Pope John Paul II, these prophetic figures remind us you know, of the events which surround our lives, we find ourselves in the midst of, the challenges and the contradictions and sufferings that come our way, all have, you know, a place. They're all pieces in the puzzle of God's providence. And, you know, we see it from a very close perspective, so we can only see a few of the pieces, but God sees the pieces from eternity, and he is the master of time, and he is the God of all providence, and Our Lady is his queen. And if we are willing to make our consecration to Blessed Mother an integral part of our life, to mean what we say and to do what we profess, then we can trust that God's plan will be fulfilled. It ultimately will be fulfilled whether we cooperate or not. Please God that we do, and by our cooperation hasten the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. That's what we pray for each day. It is the grace and the vocation to which we are committed, and it is the hope of the Church and of the world. Would that the majority of Catholics believed this, let alone the majority of people in the world. But it is the grace of our time, and it should be at the center of our lives, and our willingness to follow the Blessed Mother wherever she leads should be our profound commitment. And let it be that today and always, and as we approach the altar today to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, may we have the heart of Mary to ponder in our hearts the memories that have been entrusted to us, and may we receive into our hearts the fullness of God's grace and the power of his salvation.